This is Radio Hangar. I'm Pattern, and welcome to Traffic Pattern. I want to ask you something. On your last landing, were you actually stabilized on final? Or were you just hoping things would work out by the time you crossed the threshold? Be honest, we've all been there. Today's tip of the day is about one of the most underused tools in your entire pilot toolkit. The go-around, and more specifically, how to recognize when you need one before it's too late. Before we get into it, a quick shout-out to our friends at AviationSoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the flight training journey. First solo, private pilot, instrument rating, commercial. If you've hit a milestone, they've got a coin for it. Great way to mark the moments that actually matter. AviationSoul.com. All right, let's talk about the stabilized approach. Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. A go-around is not a failure. It's not something you do because you messed up. It is a normal planned maneuver, and the best pilots in the world execute them regularly. Airline crews go around all the time. They don't lose sleep over it. They don't feel embarrassed about it. They brief it before every single approach because they expect it might happen. But student pilots and even a lot of private pilots treat the go-around like some kind of emergency, like admitting defeat. And that mindset is what gets people into trouble. So let's fix that right now. A stabilized approach means you have met certain criteria by a specific point on final. And if you haven't met those criteria, you go around. Period. No negotiating with yourself. No, well, maybe I can fix it. You go around. What are those criteria? Let's walk through this together. First, airspeed. You should be at your target approach speed. Typically 1.3 times your stall speed in landing configuration, or whatever speed your pilot operating handbook recommends. For a Cessna 172, that's going to be around 60 to 65 knots on short final. If you're coming in at 80 knots over the numbers, you're not stabilized. Second, descent rate. A normal approach in a light single is somewhere around 500 feet per minute on a standard 3-degree glide path. If you're coming down at 1,000 feet per minute or more on short final, that's not a stabilized approach. That's a dive with optimism. Third, configuration. Flaps where you want them, gear down if you're flying a retractable fuel on the correct tank, lights on, carb heat as appropriate. All of this should be set before you're on short final. If you're still reaching for the flap handle at 200 feet, you're behind the airplane. Fourth, and this one is huge, flight path. Are you lined up with the runway center line? Are you on the correct glide path? Not high, not low? Is the aim point where it should be on your windshield? If you're offset by a runway width or you're way above or below glide path inside of half a mile, something needs to change, and the safest change is almost always a go-around. Fifth, your mental state. This is the one nobody talks about enough. Are you task saturated? Are you fixated on one thing and losing awareness of everything else? Are you anxious or rushing because there's traffic behind you? If your brain is not in a good place, that is a legitimate reason to go around. A distracted pilot does not make good landings. Now, here's the key. All of these criteria need to be met by a decision point. For light general aviation aircraft, a good rule of thumb is that you should be fully stabilized by 500 feet above the ground in visual conditions. If anything is not where it should be by 500 feet, you initiate the go around. No hesitation. Some pilots set their gate even higher, at 1,000 feet. That's fine. That's actually great, especially early in your training. The higher your stabilization gate, the more time you have to execute the go-around safely and set up for another approach. Let me give you a scenario. You're in the pattern at your home airport. It's a calm day. You're on final for runway 27. You turned final just a little wide, so now you're correcting back toward the center line. You're also a little high, so you're trying to lose altitude. Your airspeed creeps up to 75 knots because you've got the nose down to fix the altitude problem. Now you're fast, you're still not quite on centerline, and you're passing through 300 feet. What do most student pilots do here? They try to fix all three problems at once. They bank harder toward the centerline, they pull back on the power, they try to force the airplane onto the runway, and sometimes it works. But sometimes it doesn't. And when it doesn't, you end up in the grass, or off the side of the runway, or in a hard landing that bends the firewall. What should you do? Go around, full power, carb heat off, establish a positive rate of climb, retract one stage of flaps at a time, fly the upwind leg, and set up for another approach. The whole thing takes about 3 minutes. 3 minutes for another chance at a good landing versus gambling on a bad one. The Airman Certification Standards, the ACS, specifically lists go-arounds as a required skill for every certificate level. The examiner on your check ride is looking for you to demonstrate that you can recognize when an approach is not working and take positive action. In fact, I've heard many examiners say they are more impressed by a student who makes a confident go-around decision than one who salvages a sloppy approach into a passable landing, because the go-around shows judgment. The save just shows luck. Here's a technique I teach all my students. Before you enter the pattern, brief the go-around. Say it out loud if you're alone in the airplane. If I'm not stabilized by 500 feet, I will go around. Full power, pitch for climb, flaps up incrementally. Make it automatic. Make it a decision you've already made before you need it, because in the moment, your brain will try to convince you that you can fix it. Your brain is wrong. Let me tell you about the thing that kills go-around decisions. It's called plan continuation bias. It means that once you've committed to a plan, your brain actively resists changing it. You plan to land, you set up the approach, you've been in the pattern for several minutes, and now your brain really, really wants to land. Even when the evidence says the approach is not good. Plan continuation bias has contributed to countless runway excursions and hard landings in general aviation. The antidote is a predefined gate. When you set a hard criterion in advance, you take the decision out of the moment and put it where it belongs, in the briefing. Another thing I want you to think about? The go-around is actually the default outcome of every approach. Stay with me here. Every approach is a go-around unless everything is right for landing. You're not flying an approach to land, you're flying an approach to evaluate whether landing is appropriate. That mental shift is powerful when the default is go around and you have to earn the landing by meeting all the criteria. Suddenly the decision is much easier. Now let's talk about executing the go around itself, because there's a right way to do it. Power, that comes first. Full throttle, smoothly, but deliberately. Carb heat to cold if you had it on. You need all the power the engine can give you. Pitch. Establish a climb attitude. Do not yank back on the yoke. Smooth, positive pitch to your normal climb attitude. The airplane will want to pitch up when you add full power, so be ready for that. Right rudder, to counteract the left turning tendencies. Flaps. Retract them incrementally. If you're in full flaps, go to the next notch. Let the airplane accelerate. Then the next notch? Do not retract all flaps at once at low altitude. You will lose lift faster than you gain airspeed. And that is a recipe for a stall close to the ground configuration. Once you're climbing and cleaned up, fly the pattern. Announce your go-around on the radio so other traffic knows what you're doing, and then set up for a normal approach. The entire sequence takes maybe 10 seconds of active flying. 10 seconds. That's all it costs to give yourself a fresh start. One more thing. If you do a go-around on your check ride, do not assume you failed. I have seen students make a perfect go-around decision and then spend the rest of the ride rattled because they think they blew it. You didn't. You demonstrated exactly the kind of judgment the examiner wants to see. Reset, fly the next approach, and nail the landing. I want to leave you with this. Every pilot, from the student on their fifth lesson to the captain with 20,000 hours, has a decision to make on every approach. Am I stabilized? Is this approach working? Am I safe to continue? Make that decision honestly every single time you fly, set your gate, brief your go-around, and respect the criteria you've set for yourself. There is always another approach. There is not always another chance to recover from a bad landing. That's your tip for the day. Most of the thinking behind this one comes from the FAA's Airplane Flying Handbook and the Stabilized Approach Guidance in Advisory Circular 90-66 Bravo, which is well worth a read. I'm Pattern. Go fly safe and don't be afraid of that full power climb. See you next time on Traffic Pattern here on RadioHangar.com.